Hello and welcome to Inside the Manny. My name is Matt.
My name's Jeff.
How you doing, Jeff?
Doing good. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. What are you doing here again?
What am I doing here? Good question. This is a different type of episode. We've come up with a brilliant title, Matt and Jeff. We're working on that one. And essentially,
genius.
Thank you. Essentially, me and you can talk for England or for Greece or pretty much any country. We just talk for hours, don't we? Want to come around for a cup of tea
at
your house. A lot of these conversations are to do with very relevant subjects that we thought would be good topics for, you know, podcast episodes. And we're going to talk about the Greek language in this episode, and it's a huge, massive topic, so we're not going to try and cover this in one episode, but we're going to try and do something a little bit difficult, and we're going to ask a very specific question. Do you actually need to speak Greek to live in the Manny, or to live a happy life in the Manny? Now, those are two very different questions, and we want to explore this whole theme, because me and you, Matt, we sort of graded ourselves, didn't we? And where did you put yourself on a 1 to 10 scale?
I think I gave myself a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, solid 4.
Fluctuating, but okay, it averages out at 4.
Yeah,
I have good days and bad days, like anything else.
Yeah.
What about you?
Pretty much the same. I would say 4 to 5, but you know, obviously a very subjective thing. But I've been learning for 10 years. I still try to get better every day. I have lessons, I stop lessons, I have them again. I'm still trying, but we're by no means experts in the Greek language, or, you know, I see this as a lifelong process.
Absolutely. Yep. And I'm slightly the opposite of you, that I've plateaued out.
Yeah, we'll talk about the plateau. That's a really important point. But to dive into this question, do you need to speak Greek to live in the Manny? Specific things about the Manny, I would say, are there's some areas where there's a huge sort of foreign community, and there's some areas where you might be literally, you know, even a kilometre away from the nearest goat, let alone person.
I agree. And I'd add to that, I think the further you get away from the tourist hubs down on the coast and head into the hills or into deeper Manny, the less English, foreign languages other than Greek, are used. It might be different for you in Kalamata, is it? Have you found that since you moved? I mean, Jeff used to live down here, by the way.
Yeah, it's definitely different. But even though it's maybe more cosmopolitan here in Kalamata, it's more Greek in a way, because the it's more majority Greek. So you pretty much, it's like a working town. Whereas I think a lot of parts of the Manny, you know, especially Stupa, Kardamili, you know, you can get by with English no problem, pretty much everywhere, isn't it?
Yes, and I wasn't at all implying that if you get away from these tourist hubs, that the people involved in running a restaurant or a cafe or whoever it is you meet up in the hills, I'm not saying that they don't know English. That's not my point. My point is that English, specifically, really, isn't used as much because there's no need.
Okay, so the big kind of gnarly question in here, and the reason it's a bit gnarly about this subject, it's almost like a moral kind of thing. Should you try learning the language, and to what extent? And then if you don't, are you a bad person? It's a big one, Matt. Is there an easy yes or no answer to this question?
I don't think there is. when it concerns morality, I think we're going to move on to other issues that involve speaking Greek later on in the episode. But for that specific question, My answer is no, because I think that what is perhaps more important is the individual and, you know, how they behave. Are they a decent person? You can get by and be liked and be respected by local people just simply by waving, smiling, helping Yaya with her shopping up the difficult steps. And you've always got English, the most international language. You can still communicate. You're just not doing it in Greek. So if the issue is a moral one, my answer is no. I would not advocate, and if we go back to our grading system, let's consider zero. So a foreign person who has never uttered a word of Greek in all their time in Mani, would I advocate cutting out their tongues after a certain period of time? Of course not.
What about a finger?
What's that got to do with language?
You paused for a while then. You briefly considered it. I could see it in your eyes.
Well, I was thinking about writing Greek, but I don't do that. You know, I'm a zero. I'm a zero on writing Greek.
That's another. Let's save that whole topic for another episode, riveting episode. I think you said it, the word respectful, because this whole idea, this moral sense, is that it's quite simple, really. It's like manners, you know, good manners, which I think covers almost everything in life. You know, if you can have be polite and respectful and have good manners, it gets you a long, long way. And that obviously, a lot of people feel that if you do move to a foreign country, it's just, you know, the right thing to do, the respectful thing to do, to learn the language. But as you rightly said, you can carry Yaya's shopping up the steps and have no language communication at all and still be respected, still be regarded as a, you know, a decent human being.
And then the next day, Yaya will bring you a plate of freshly made horta, and not a word of Greek has been spoken.
There you go.
That's my point.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're agreeing there, but I'm going to push back a little bit. This is a complicated one. And to me, this is another way to look at it, right? But if you think about if you lived in England, these are our two perspectives, you know, where we've spent most of our time in Greece and England. You do kind of expect people to learn English when they come to England. It's just a common sense thing. This isn't a moral question. It's just you couldn't imagine getting by in England without English. So why is it different over here?
Exactly. So what you mean is Greeks don't expect foreigners to be level 6, 7, 8 in Greek, do they?
Or even one, you know.
Yeah.
One of the frustrations about learning the language is often Greek people, especially in the service industry and in shops, you'll start your conversation in Greek. So I'll start speaking in Greek to them and they'll immediately detect a bit of an accent and they'll answer back in English. So, of course, that means to a lot of people, well, why the hell should I bother? I get frustrated a lot of the time when that happens.
It happens to me all the time, you know, and I'm considering myself a level 4er. I start in Greek.
Yeah.
But I think the point there is that even as a level 4er, if the Greek that I'm speaking to, their English is level 6, it actually makes the conversation much easier for both parties and to convey the meaning and to go a bit deeper, because level 6 is higher than level 4. It frustrates me, but I think it's totally understandable. And you're quite right. It's completely different to the living in an England scenario. And that's a delicate subject, isn't it? Because why is English sort of the international language and why would living in England be different as a foreigner to foreigners living in the Mani not speaking Greek?
Yeah, you can get by just in English here, and you pretty much can't do that in England at all. So
Yeah.
And maybe the main thing, if we want to use our crude grading system, the level zeros, people who literally don't even know one word, look, let's give people a break. You come to live in a foreign country. It takes about 2,000 hours on average, they reckon, to get to anywhere near fluency in Greek. If you just bought the dream home in between the sea and the mountains, you've worked your ass off all your life. Do I really want to spend 2,000 hours, you know, on this new life project? No, I just want to chill out. I've just spent 20 grand on a pool. I just want to be in the pool. I totally get that. I totally get that. Why people wouldn't even get off the ground.
And I think that there are other issues involved in all that, Jeff, I'd say. You know, again, as I said earlier, it's down to the individual. You know, a particular person might be shy. A particular person may be lacking confidence. A particular person may have failed in other areas of their life where they were trying to learn a language. There's all kinds of factors. It's all down to the individual. But I think we're both in agreement that not speaking Greek doesn't make you a bad person.
Okay, so moving on. What are the main reasons, practical reasons, why people may not be speaking Greek? Either they haven't started learning or they started learning and they stopped. As we've talked about, maybe some people have come here and they've retired and they just want to chill out. Totally get that. Too busy. Maybe people have got family. Maybe they've got work. And it's a, you know, this is a big thing. It's a hard thing, learning a new language. And Greek isn't an easy language. I don't know. What do you think broadly?
Well, I've mentioned a couple already, haven't I? Sort of shyness, failing learning languages in the past. But you're kind of getting round now, aren't you, to the question of, is Greek difficult? I think learning any language is difficult. I used to be a language teacher, but therefore on the other side of the fence. So I would teach foreign students English, and progress was always so slow. I found it really frustrating. It's like, why can't you remember what we did in the last lesson? So the same thing applies to anybody here who's trying to learn Greek. And I think the alphabet doesn't help, does it? Let's be honest. You've arrived and you're full of enthusiasm. You haven't got the shyness. You're determined. And then you're immediately confronted with a whole different set of characters, with a whole different set of sounds to especially English-speaking people, whether they are actually English or other nationalities. That's got to be a bit of a put-off, hasn't it? Right off the bat.
Well, it's what we say, isn't it? It's all Greek to me. It's literally our phrase for saying something is difficult. So, yeah, it is tough. And I think one of the most common things I see, and I've only recognized this since living full-time in Greece for a few years, is I would say most people reach this kind of plateau. And I could even put myself there in that, as you said earlier, there are probably very, very few people who've not done any Greek learning at all. But I'd say most people, the majority, start and then level off at some point. I mean, I've been through lots of different textbooks, and the last one was B1, or I think I've even got a B2 book somewhere, but I have stuck at that book level for a long time. And I think that's a natural thing, because you can stop and then pick things up. But it's not easy, is it?
It's not. And I think there's also the issue of accuracy versus fluency. Now, in that sense, Greek is quite hard, especially if you're an English native speaker, to be 100% accurate, because it has different verb system, it has nouns that have genders. There's no need to go into a grammatical analysis, but from that point of view, it's different. And if your character is you can't stand making mistakes. It doesn't matter what it is you're doing. You don't want to get anything wrong. In that sense, Greek is a pretty hard language to learn. If you're like me, and again, this could be a hint of laziness, but if your aim is merely to communicate and you're not bothered so much about making mistakes, as long as real communication takes place, I don't care. What it does, it makes me sound like, you know, the other side of the coin would be listening to a Greek speaking English, making so many mistakes, but I understand what they're saying. No problem. And I reply in English, which is crazy. That's not what we're talking about. But you see what I mean? I think it's how you approach the whole thing is, again, down to the individual.
I totally disagree. I would advocate, as you suggested earlier, for cutting out the tongues of people who make too many grammatical errors. And I'm a bit of a grammar Nazi, but we're
okay.
But that's, you know, but yeah, you're right. So there's two approaches. You can do book learning. There's more than two approaches. You know, you can be more focused on book learning, or you can be more focused on getting the ball over the net, as the phrase goes, and not worrying too much about grammar. I'm more the former, and you're more the latter. Go on.
In that case, I'm front of the queue for having my tongue cut out, for sure.
Good. I'll be there with my chef's knife. No, you're right. Fluency versus accuracy. Either. But more important, I would say, is consistency. We're all guilty of it, but I think just as a good general practice, just try and speak, you know, at least one word. You need to keep doing it regularly. You also need kind of like small wins along the way. I used to be terrified of speaking to, you know, utilities of Cosmodei or, you know, the electricity company now, or even giving directions to people. And these days I feel a lot more comfortable, and that's taken a long time. But yeah, you need to pat yourself on the back when you have these little small wins. And also I would say you kind of need a reason as well. I mean, it's a bit obvious, but the reason's got to be more than I just want to learn Greek. You've got to have a more kind of like goals. Don't have to be big goals. You need something to kind of keep you motivated for the long term. And that might just be as simple as you have a local haunt that you go to and you like converse in Greek with that, or you've got some friends that you speak to and you'd like to carry on speaking more Greek with them. A goal could be as simple as that. It's like when I meet Petros, I'd prefer to speak more Greek than I do English. So that's what I think.
Does that happen with Petros? Do you get the thing where eventually you end up reverting to English?
Yeah, that's the tricky thing, because, you know, as we said, we both talk a lot, and if I want to put myself across and anything that's reasonably complex, then I will automatically default to English. So I have to keep reminding myself all the time. No, just keep making the effort. Even if it takes years and years and years, which it has up until now.
Yeah, it does take years. And you mentioned, you know, the small wins are great and they're encouraging. But I think we should also mention when there are small losses, when you make a mistake. And, you know, that is going to happen. And it's happened to me. And I felt embarrassed, but you just got to get over it. And it's like you're saying, it is this Herculean task to keep going and persisting and trying not to switch to English. And if you do make a mistake, or you can't quite find the right Greek word or terminology to communicate what you're trying to communicate, battle away, try and find another way of expressing what you want to express without reverting to the safety net of English.
Yeah. Question for you. Where would you say you are in regards to this plateau? And what I want to know, because I never asked you, do you feel yourself, you know, having been here for like 20 years plus, that you are still learning? Do you feel like you're picking up vocabulary, or would you say pretty much that doesn't happen very often? I mean, do you feel yourself still leveling up, even if it is in a you know, in a small way?
I think if I'm being honest, no. I'll give you an example. Last week, my cooling fan broke. Absolute disaster. Didn't know the word for cooling fan. Looked it up. Went down to the supermarket because I wanted to have a discussion with somebody about which was the best cooling fan. And, you know, do I really need that one that's got a timer? And he was an Albanian worker in the supermarket. And this is really, really boring. But we did discuss for 5 minutes in Greek about which cooling fan I should buy. Now, that was, I would say, 3 weeks ago. I can't remember the word for cooling fan. Can't remember. Couldn't even get the first syllable. What letter does it start with? No idea. And I won't use it again until this one breaks, probably, you know, in 2 years' time. And then I'll have to go back to the dictionary. Oh, yeah, that's the word for cooling fan. I mean, that's a bit of an odd example. I think I find it really hard, really. And what, you know, what do I do? I've thought about carrying around a little notepad. And you know, every time you hear something, oh, sorry, what did you just say? I didn't understand that. And, you know, get an explanation, because even if they don't speak English, my Greek level 4 is good enough to understand the explanation. You know, maybe it was slightly idiomatic. Make a note. Am I that organized? No. Is my desire to improve my Greek there? Yes. But, you know, the question is how. And in my mind, that is one of the ways to do it. And maybe, you know, I should start having a little notepad and pen. But I don't do that. I don't do that. And that's all down to me, because I've hit that plateau where I can more or less get by.
Yeah, he said debelis. You're just a lazy git, basically.
Yes. Symphono.
No, it's a good point. I don't actually think there is such a thing as fluency. I think the idea of fluency is nonsense. I think it's a nonsense concept, because, you know, language changes all the time. You can get grades, formal grades, but what does fluent mean? Does fluent mean you've got to have a certain vocabulary? Fluent is relative to who you're talking to. And if your level is, you know, more kind of transactional, social speaking, then that's very different to, you know, if you worked in a government science laboratory. You'd have to, you know, your level of fluency would be very different. So, yeah, so where you get on this plateau, I think, is in some senses, it doesn't really matter, because it's all contextual. So you might get to a certain point and think, I'm good. I'm doing fine. All I speak to is, the only people I speak to is Yaya next door and the guy in the mini market. And we have great conversations.
Snap. For me, living in Nehori, because we're away from the coast, and I'm not saying these people don't speak English at all, but they're not tourist traps. So the Cafe Neon and the mini market in Nehori is where I speak my most Greek. And it's great. I come out of the mini market having had a chat about last night's football game, or some local village gossip, or whatever, because it's the conversation is quite simplistic, as you were saying. You know, if I couldn't have a conversation about you know, astrophysics or no chance. not that I'd want to, because I don't know anything about it anyway. So,
yeah, that's a good segue onto something we talk about a lot, Matt. And that, you know, this came up relatively recently, and it's kind of obvious, and it's a little bit cliched as well. But it's this whole idea of a sense of belonging to a place and a sense of community. I mean, you've talked about it, haven't you, about this sense of belonging. You've been here for, you know, a couple of decades now, and I think you feel kind of part of the furniture here. You don't, you know, would you say?
Yes, and you'd have to ask the community at large what they think of me. But from my inner perspective, I would describe that whole 2 decades plus as a series of steps. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And to me, one of the elements is improving my language skills. And it gives me a sense of patting myself on the back, basically, when I have these chats in the mini market and I come out and I think, yeah, bravo, Matt, well done. Alongside that process of steps is also just being a decent human being, which we've talked about, and getting to know more and more people, because okay, it's a small place, but there's still a whole variety of people here. And really, we're talking about local people, not the foreign community. So those steps are go in tandem. And I would say that the language element is actually more important than extending the number of people that you say hello to, and they acknowledge you, and you learn their name, and they learn your name. But put it all together, the result is an ever-increasing sense of belonging, of which, to me, is really, really important. Sorry, I'm getting all serious.
But, no, it's important, but it's also not a nice feeling, Matt. It is. And I have a son who's in the Greek school system here. You know, it'd be very hard for me to avoid learning any Greek at all. But I like it. I like the thought of being able to walk into the school and ask the head a question. And it usually breaks down to English at some point, but I will try to do that in Greek. And it's just a nice feeling, I think.
It is. And, you know, I don't have a child in the school system, but the equivalent to me is whenever around here, and we're talking the Stupa near Hori Kardamili area, it's community events that, you know, whether it's the Stupa Sports Day or it's a Panagiri, when I turn up and get acknowledged, and a friendly wave, and a yasumat, and maybe a quick chat with a whole variety of people. They could be, you know, they could be Greek, they could be Greek-speaking Albanians. But again, it just without wanting to sound a bit soppy, it warms my heart. It makes me feel, genuinely, it makes me feel I belong here. Whereas, as a younger man, I didn't know where I belonged. I had no roots. I kept trying to find them. I went to Australia. I went to the Far East. No. This place was the right choice for me. And through all those steps that I mentioned, I've got to a place where I feel like I belong. As I said, the general community may have a differing opinion, Greek community. But for me personally, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, similar to you. This feels like home. I feel welcome here. I feel you know, whenever we've been away traveling and driving back home, I don't feel a sense of, you know, my real home is somewhere else. I feel like this is the place. And the whole reason we're talking about this is getting into that via the medium of language. So I think we're kind of together on that.
Yeah. And without sounding morbid, I think I can say with great confidence that my last day on the planet will be here. I'm not going anywhere.
No, we've got quite a few episodes we want to record before that happens, Matt. So, Okay, so I don't know. It's been a little... It's not the easiest thing to speak about because it's quite a sensitive issue, this topic. Well, I'll give my general perspective, which is you don't need to speak Greek to live here. And there's, you know, and it doesn't make you a bad person if you don't learn to speak Greek here. But there are many, many multitude of benefits if you do.
Yeah, and I totally concur with that. Something I observed once, which was a level one foreigner talking to a Greek who had level one English. They made friends. They went on a little fishing trip together. They came back, shared the spoils of the catch, and then what? Nothing. If he was level four, level five, they could have then gone for a little ouzo and a meze and had a little chat in Greek, maybe about the day fishing or about anything. That is a far richer experience for the foreigner, and it's only because he can speak some Greek.
Yep. Okay, good. Should we wrap it up there?
So, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in to the next episode.
We'd love to hear your opinions. You can leave a comment on the Facebook page. Tell us whether you agree or disagree with us. You can also go to Spotify and leave some comments on there. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one.
Bye for now.